I'm glad the Lord explains some things in the Scripture if you read it and understand it. You could tell someone today that we're in the day of grace. Whosoever will can come. And they may ask, how do you know? How do you know that hadn't ended? I know it hadn't ended because Jesus hadn't come for the church. The times of the Gentiles, that's that time that whosoever will, anybody can be saved, and Gentile governments are in control, and all that's still taking place. And the rapture, the Lord hadn't come to get his church. That's how I know. That door's still wide open. It's as wide open as it ever has been. There's just fewer going in. Fewer going in. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. I want to look at these verses and teach from these verses tonight. And I want us to just take a look at what we've just read, maybe a little bit more around it. And the thought that I'm thinking about, the Lord talked about the eye that's single. The eye that is single. To have a singleness of eye. To have not blinded vision or double vision, but to be able to see things clearly the way they should be seen. The Lord spoke these parables unto his disciples, and the Lord has certainly, been at odds against the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. Those that would teach the children of Israel the law of God. They were supposed to. They were ordained to do that. God had given them instruction in the Old Testament. Moses wrote it down. They were responsible for truth. Responsible for truth. Now, it mattered not about a man's opinion, and that's what happened to the Jews. The the teachers of the law begin to write another book. And you can find that today. And Jewish people think more of it than they do the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, or the whole Old Testament. It's the teachings of the rabbi. The teachings of the rabbi. Well, that might be, you know, good as an instructional book on the side, but I can't write an instructional book for people and claim more authority in it than the Scripture. That's just blasphemous, really. Blasphemous. So you have to know that knowing the truth, knowing it through God's Word, I pray continually. When I pray, God, give me wisdom and understanding in His Word to open my eyes, really open my thought, my heart to His Word, that I could see His Word for what it is. Why? That I could teach someone else. The Lord's speaking about that here in these parables. And He begins, and I want you to keep those Jews in mind. Now listen, they were, again, responsible for telling the truth and guiding people and teaching the truth. If they would have been true-hearted, I believe they would have said, just like John, there He is. That's the Christ we've been looking for. But they were jealous of Him, of their position being taken away by a king. He spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Can the blind lead the blind? The answer most certainly is no. Now, I'm not talking about schools where they, you know, get blind children in the school and they teach them how many steps there is from this room to that room and how many seats there are and how to make their way to the cafeteria and how to make their way to their study. And, you know, they can learn a lot of things being blind. But take them completely out of that and set them out somewhere. Can the blind lead the blind? No, they cannot see the way to go. They cannot. That was what Jesus was saying. Can the blind lead the blind? Well, now, that's a statement also. They had heard the teachings of these Pharisees and Sadducees. They are the blind. Why would you even listen to a blind trying to lead the direction? Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? I mean, it's not just the one leading, but the one following that's going to fall into the ditch. We must watch who we're following. That's why I believe so much in the local church. You have a pastor, you have teachers, you come to a church just like this church, you know what book we're preaching out of, You can look at it and go verse by verse, hear it with your ears, see it with your eyes. But you don't know how many of these out here, many of them, are blind, leaders of the blind. Some people that follow these, they seem to be grand spectacles as far as what a church could be or what a pastor or a leader is in these days. And you hear people, I hear people make some of the most blind statements I've ever heard people make in my life. And I'm shaking my head. Can they not see? No, they can't see. They're blind. That's why they don't see. They're blind. They're being led by the blind. If you have somebody that you don't understand why they're going in that direction, it's because they're blind and they're being led by someone who's blind. And both will fall into the ditch. Same ditch. Same ditch. You take a Jehovah's Witness, gain a convert, that convert's going to be the same kind of Jehovah's Witness that they are. Both off in the same ditch. Not one any better than the other. And I'm not just picking on them tonight. I'm talking about, any teaching or religion that is against God, that is against Christ. The disciple is not above his master. The disciple is not above his master. Now, when you look at this verse here, the Lord could certainly be speaking of himself and what he is facing and what he is going through and what they shall go through. That they're not, he told them in one place, if I, your Lord and Master, have suffered, you're going to suffer. They hated me. They're going to hate you. The disciple's not above his master. Well, this blind person that's being led by this other blind person, the disciple is not above this master. In other words, he's not going to somehow miraculously turn out better than the man who taught him. It's not going to happen. But everyone that is perfect, mature, shall be as his master. When you come to maturity of what you've been taught, you're going to be just like your master, the one that taught you. You'll be as him. If you want to find somebody that was as close to the Apostle Paul as they could be, look at Timothy. Why? Because he was his convert, and he was taught of him. And no doubt many others that followed. This is a part I wanted to get into. In verse 41, he said, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Now, it looks to me like this is a continuation of the previous statements. He's teaching them some things. First, can the blind lead the blind? The disciple's not above his master. He shall be as his master. Everyone that's perfect, taught, brought to maturity, shall be as his master. And why? He adds this. I got something else to say. Why beholdest thou not the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? The thing that is hindering their sight. In And I don't know why it is, but someone with a beam is always talking about someone's mote. Never the other way around. See, the mote's just a little something. The beam, we know what the beam, that's huge. And it's always written that way. The one with the beam is always beholding the mote. Always addressing their brother's problem, but not their own. And more times than not, if we have a problem always addressing our brother's mote, more times than not, we've probably got a beam. Something that really needs took out of our eyes so that we can see. Now, the mote needs to be removed, but it's not hindering that person's vision near as much as the one with the beam. But he said, and why beholdest thou the mote? Why are you concerned with his mote when you have this? Why are you not concerned about the beam in your eye? That's what he's saying. Why are you beholding his mote when you've got a beam? Why are you not concerned about your problem? You're concerned about his problem. Why are you not concerned about your problem, which is far greater? You know why? Because a beam is going to definitely alter your vision. You're not going to see things the size they are, just that it's there. But he said, why? Why are you not? Here's the teaching. You should behold the beam in your own eye. You shouldn't be looking at the mote in someone else's eye. That's the teaching. You should be looking at the beam in your own eye. I remember my granddaddy saying many a times, if I can get myself right, I've done something. If I can walk close to Christ and keep the sin out of my life, then I've accomplished something. So why? But let's look at how we should look at the mote in our brother's eye. Should I ignore the mote? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Let me get that out of your eye. Not even paying attention that he's got this beam in his eye. Thou hypocrite. What he said. Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to talk about the mote. To ask the brother about the mote? Why you got mote in your eye? That's what he was doing. No, that you can see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. I see someone that gets a beam out of his eye. He knows the pain of pulling that out. He doesn't want that mote turning into a beam. So he carefully helps his brother remove the mote.
I can see clearly now. I'm not going to scar your eye.
I'm not going to take half your face off pulling out that mote.
He sure would have took half his face off with that beam in his own eye.
To see clearly. To have a single eye. To be able to see clearly.
To help. Not to judge or to point, but to help. Like a shepherd with a lamb or a sheep, cleaning the dust and the mote out of its eye.
So he said, cast out. I mean, you've got to get rid of it. Cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Look how he goes on. This is the discernment of seeing. For a good tree cannot bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. Every tree is known by his own fruit. And how do we know? By seeing the fruit. Seeing the fruit like we saw the mote. Being able to see, is it corrupt fruit? Or is it good fruit? I can remember when I was younger, walking up to a bush. I mean, it looked like it had these big, nice berries on it. I mean, I could have ate every one of them. And I forget who it was, but they said, son, don't eat that. That'll poison you. Then I remember walking up to other bushes. Happened to be a big thing of blackberries and hesitate and wait. And somebody say, go ahead, you can eat all them you want. That's good fruit. I was glad to hear that. But somebody saw it. You see the fruit. You see the fruit in someone's life. And you and I having clarity of vision, clarity of what we're being taught, clarity of what we're following will help bring forth good fruit in our life. And it'll help us to see clearly good fruit to eat, to be fed with, where we're not following someone that's blind. Over in Matthew's gospel, trying to think where it is that I... Matthew 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition, ye hypocrites. Well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Blind leading the blind, bearing no fruit. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Men's commandments. Men's commandments. Things that are contrary or that cross God's commandments. The blind leading the blind. They were saying, your disciples, they don't follow what we've taught. They're not going to follow a blind man. They're not going to follow a blind man. Jesus is teaching them. About the warning of blind leaders. The warning of mote finders. The warning of bad fruit. Being able to discern a blind leader, which is a mere, they just profess. They profess. And these are people, according to what I just read in Matthew, hypocrites. They teach for doctrine the commandment of men, not the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God, church, is what's going to always be our foundation. If we ever get away from that, we will cease to exist as a church. As a church. We may go on as something else, but we are not going to be a church. The church of Jesus Christ. A good tree. There's a lot of trees out there today. And they're producing evil fruit. Look what they're putting out. Why is it? Blind leading the blind. Why is it? You've got people with beams in their eye beholding the mote in people's eye. I like that teaching that Jesus uses about the beam and the mote. You know why? Because it always makes me look more at myself and less at you. More that I need to look at my what's in my eye. Because if I can see more what I need to pull out of my eye, then I'm going to have compassion at trying to help you make sure your eye stays clean. A mote just needs to be cleaned out. A beam had to be pulled out. Does that make sense? And that's what truth does. Truth will help you keep the mote cleaned out of your eye. But falseness builds a beam. And it's hard not to have a altered vision with a beam in your eye. People that have been taught wrong, their beliefs altered, the way they think is altered. I heard somebody say something the other day that I knew for years. They was telling me about some of the people in the Middle East, you know, that were a part of Islam. And they said, their thinking about stuff is backwards. I said, oh, I know. Their mind works in a totally different direction. Sometimes cannot even just see the simple things. Just something simple. They'll blindly stand over here on a corner of the conversation talking about something that does not even matter. Why? Because they've got a beam in their eye. I don't want a beam in my eye. Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye. Remember, always. Clean our own life up first. How many things, and I preached a little bit the other night about this, how many things did God say in His Word for us to do first? Cast out first the beam that's in your own eye. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. First. There's some things you and I need to do first. Go get your strong concordance out and look that word first up. Right there in the New Testament. You probably find some in the Old Testament too. See where God tells us to do something first. It changes the whole way you and I walk. It changes how we see things. It changes how we operate as a believer. It changes how we see our brothers and sisters in Christ. It does. It does. I know this. I'm going to say this and I'm done on the teaching. I know when I look at this, I always have more compassion toward other people. And what they're facing or what's happening in their life. Always. Always. When God has me to look at me first, I always try to have more understanding. That doesn't mean that I should just, you know, or that you should just, you know, ignore the help that our brother or sister needs. We should help them. Really, genuinely want to help them. He wasn't so much concerned about helping them get that mote out of his eye as he was that he saw it and wanted them to know he saw it. He's more concerned about the mote than he was their eye. He couldn't even see the beam in his own eye. We shouldn't be so concerned about the sin in our brother's or sister's life, but our brother's and sister's life.
their life. I don't want the devil putting sin in your life and then taking you and wrecking your life or hindering your relationship with God or even causing you to, you know, to be involved in something even greater. I don't want that to happen to you. It's not the sin that I'm concerned about. It's your life that I'm concerned about. We should be concerned about each other's lives, our spiritual lives. Amen. And be as our Lord and Master. See how he dealt with people. He helped that woman at the well. Yeah, she saw her sin. Boy, she had mold in her eye, didn't she? The Lord helped her to clean it out and said, "No, don't go do that anymore." He helped her get her life cleaned up. To help one another, our lives, our walk with Christ, to be clean before the Lord, close to the Lord. Amen. I want you to stand. Bless your heart. Thank you for being here. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, okay? And we'll be dismissed this evening. Father, in Jesus' name, dear Lord, I thank you for your precious words. And I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that God, we have your words that we can, Lord, have clarity of sight, God, that we can see the path lit before us. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Dear Lord, thank you that we can see the way. Help us, Lord, each one of us, God, that we could see clearly, to help our brothers and sisters to see clearly the way wherein we should walk. God, I don't want to be a blind leader of the blind. God, if I'm blind on something, I'll blind someone else. Dear Lord, I don't want that. So, Father, I ask for your help and your guidance. I ask for your cleansing. I ask for your endowment of power, dear Lord, in our lives. Help us, Jesus, God, not to walk in the ways of men, but God, in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God, according to your words. Lord, to glory in that and to rejoice in that, to rejoice in hope of your word. Father, bless your people, and all that you do for us will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord and Savior. We give you praise now, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.